We'd like to invite Joel and Sheila to come on up and take sort of the end chairs, I guess. And there's a mic for each one of you there. Joel and Sheila are very dear to Deb and I. Joel, as I mentioned, and Sheila were our assistant pastoral couple at Canyonview a number of years back when they were still new in ministry.
Yes.
Kind of. Right?
Babies in ministry.
And it was great. And you may not know that Sheila, as an international worker in Asia, this is not her first gig. She worked in India in the red light district. Was it Calcutta? Among red light district women, and that was a powerful ministry. So these are wonderful people that I'm looking forward to hearing from today. And we don't have a big script or anything. We often don't do that at Mosaic as well, but I think, Sheila, you might be doing some introductions or a little background.
Yeah.
So go for it. Oh, and we brought you a present,
oh,
Sheila.
Yes.
Oh, a present.
This is,
wow, this for the pregnant woman.
By the way.
Yeah. Can you take the, I got to dig into that.
Is this
I'm
elk
not doing
salami?
Nothing.
What meat is this?
What? Oh, that's right. You're not supposed to eat pork, are you? Well, I'll eat it. I don't care. More for me.
No. Oh, we eat pork.
Can you eat
pork? We're eating pork now.
Okay.
I don't know how many of you remember the last time.
2018.
Wow. We that I was here. Yeah, 2018. Jim had asked me, what is it that I miss
that's for
most
you, Greg.
In when we're in Indonesia that we can't really get there, that we get here? And I said, deli meats and cheeses. And he had asked me that prior to being up here. So when I gave you guys that answer, all of a sudden out comes all this stuff. And so
I'm
here it is again.
In.
And I will tell you, this is very true. Fourth pregnancy. Crave cheese all the time, and there's just not the kind of cheese in that we can get here that's available over there. So I came home and I have been indulging. So
right,
I love cheese. Yeah. Okay. So okay, introduction.
Do you know where Indonesia is? Name a country that borders Indonesia. That's the question.
Anybody? The ocean.
Hey, that's very good. Most people don't know that one.
Did he say that?
Brunei.
Oh. Oh,
kind of. Any other? There's some other countries that border Indonesia. Okay, he knows everything.
Yeah, the former missionaries.
Anyone else? Okay, Malaysia, Papua New Guinea is one you said. There's one big continent to the south of Indonesia. Has anybody? It's full of surfers and kangaroos and wallabies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Australia. So that's the big island to the south. And we're all these little islands kind of in between Southeast Asia, China, and the South China Sea and Australia. All of those are Indonesia. There's a lot of islands there. And if you the population, 237 million, a large percentage of that, over half of that live on our island of Java. It is a very densely packed island, densely. We love coming to Montana because there's no people. There's no people here, and we can see the stars. We can see the horizon. That's very special. You guys get to see the horizon. I said that to Jim last night. You don't know how special it is. You can look really far out. That's really really special. Mm-hmm. We're used to you just see the front of your neighbor's house most of the time, in a packed urban city. Mm-hmm. So it's refreshing to be out here, and thank you guys for welcoming us with a meat and cheese tray.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, so the update on our family, or even the introduction, we have three children. We left Montana in 2014. Oh, okay, hold on a second. The island that we live on. Oh, there's our kids. So the island that we live on, Java, is the long one there at the bottom. That you see, that's called Java. So that's where we live, and the Sunda people group is the largest tribe in the area that we live in. So I do not speak Sunda, Joel does speak Sunda. So he learned both Indonesian and Sunda. So anyway, okay, so our family. We went to Indonesia in 2014. Our two oldest, Toby and Ori, they're 8 and 6. They were both born in Indonesia. Everly, who you can't see under there, she was born when we were back in the States in 2019. Yeah, we were home because we had been with the Krishna Missionary Alliance, and they had...
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. 4 years on the field, 1 year back. And so that was the last time that we got to be here with you guys, was during that time. So Everly was born during that time. We returned back to Indonesia in 2020, March. So we got to Indonesia 3 weeks before the world shut down. So that was, we all went through that, right? About 6 months later, we went home because my dad got sick. He had cancer and he died. We were really grateful that we were able to be back in the States during that time, and have, even in the midst of COVID and the craziness of the world, we were able to fly. Super grateful to be with family. When we got back to Indonesia, I struggled. I think we all struggled, like seasons of life, right? Pandemic. I was homeschooling. I'm not a homeschooling mom. It's very difficult for me. But I was homeschooling because the world was shut down. Schools, especially in Indonesia, they didn't start back up for at least 2 years. No. And so I knew it was best that for our oldest, that I would just be able to do kindergarten and first grade with him. But that was a very difficult season for me. Also, with the death of my dad, grief, processing life, my childhood, processing my faith journey, like there was just so much that was happening inside of me, and it came out in the form of depression, anxiety, and we muddled through for about a year. And when it got to the year anniversary of my dad's death, and I was like, no, I'm not really pulling through the season very well, I asked for help. And we, a year and a half ago, came back to the States. We went to a counseling center, and it was completely wonderful. It was a 3-week program. Our whole family got taught so much stuff. It was good for family, for us individually, but then also for our marriage. We've been through a lot of years of hardship in our marriage. And that was just kind of like this moment where God, he really started bringing things out and being able to name things. And we were able to work through so much. Went back to Indonesia, and this was April 2022, and we both felt like vision going forward, like we have it. I think something is happening, good things. We ended up moving in July to a new area of the city because our boys started into international school in August. So a year ago, they started in international school. And our lives just radically changed because all of a sudden, God was doing something. Like, there was tons of healing going on inside. And then all these stresses that we had had were suddenly being lifted. We were being put into this new community, and we started coming alive. I started coming alive in a way that, I mean, it affected the whole family, but the children were thriving. God started, for almost 8 years, it was 8 years, I'm not a traditional church planter, which is what we were actually sent as. I'm not, but I was trying to fit into this box. And it was as these stresses started being relieved, all of a sudden God started putting these people into our lives. Joel was doing something really cool with anti-pornography. And he had a group of guys that were coming around him. In the peace communities that Joel was working with, all of a sudden all these people, there was just all these opportunities to start sharing. We got to meet some awesome workers that were doing peace stuff in the middle of our island. So in October of this last year, we went to the middle of the island to visit these new friends, Indonesian friends.
There's a picture of it.
Is there? Oh, yeah.
Did you skip to a picture? Skip to the next picture.
The lizard.
These are just family photos. If you
anybody
see
know
these.
The this type of lizard, do you guys know this type? Iguana. It's just a big iguana.
Just, huh?
And they're very calm, actually. Kids can come and pet them. Okay, next picture.
Can you eat those?
We caught that one in my garage. Or my son loves animals.
Pastor Jim just asked if we can eat the iguanas, and we did eat one. We have friends that are from an island called Kalimantan. It's complete jungle, and they eat anything there, including dogs. But he caught an iguana, and he sautéed barbecue it up for us. Yeah, it was delightful.
Is it like alligator?
It was just meat. It's I'm just not like sure.
It's just like
just
this.
A meat tray.
Yeah.
Oh.
This could be iguana sausage.
Surprise.
Just don't ask. Yeah.
During COVID, so we're showing you pictures just as a quick update. During COVID, I think a lot of families wanted to create playgrounds and outdoor elements. So I used bamboo and created a little giant's ladder for my kids to climb up. And this is a group, and the girl with glasses down front, she's awesome. She's an evangelist. She has a great heart. She was doing kind of after kids programs, and pray for her right now. She is in the midst of transition. She has she's holding together a school, like basically all on her own. And her organization is kind of like telling her to shut the school down, but she has such a big heart that, and she doesn't want to abandon the kids. She's praying through. I mean, so we really don't know what to do. Her name's Desi. We love her. Pray for Desi and that school. It's full of at least 150 kids that will not, they can't afford normal school, and so they're just there, and she's got a heart to serve them, but her organization is kind of like pulling away from her and saying, we don't want to support this anymore, and she's like left there holding the kids, and she is really holding a school together by faith. So pray for her. Okay. Here's where you're.
So this is the picture. When we took a road trip to the central part of our island to meet up with friends that we had. So the guys, two of the guys in the front that are Indonesian, the guy in the back is American, Japanese descent. But those are two of Joel's mentees. His mentees, yeah. So we traveled to the middle part of the island, went to a social foundation called Pearl that these ladies worked at, and they work with women that were coming out of the sex trade. So girls that were in prostitution a lot of times because they were trafficked in some way, trafficked, underage girls. And so we got to sit and hear about what they were doing. And as they were talking, like as Pastor Jim said, I had worked prior to being married, I had worked in India with women, very similar situation. And so I'm listening to this story and I'm just like sitting on the edge of my seat, like, this is really awesome. And the biggest tell, it was for me where all of a sudden I realized, this is why it's been such a struggle. I'm listening and then I start sharing with everybody and it's all in Indonesian. And I can understand Indonesian pretty fluently, depending on the context, but I'm okay. Speaking, I really am not good because of lack of self-confidence. And so much of that has to do with, okay, pandemic, I was stuck at home, kids, homeschooling, but I lack self-confidence. But as we're sitting there and we're talking and I'm sharing, I'm just going. And I don't even realize it until the end when George and Lamaro said to me, Sheila, we didn't really realize that you actually knew Indonesian. And I'm like, I do know Indonesian. But it was where all of a sudden my passions and my heart were coming out. And it came out in a way where I forgot about myself. Like, so it wasn't even, there was no self-consciousness. Like, I didn't even have to worry about self-confidence because I just forgot about myself. Mm. And that moment was kind of like a turning point for me in saying, I actually do want to be here. And also realizing from the friends that lived 8 hours away began telling me about all these people that I actually knew in Bandung who were working with girls that were in the red light areas in Bandung. And I'm like, I didn't know they existed. I didn't know these organizations were there. And so it was just this moment where it felt like the way forward became very clear of like where God was calling me to start working. And I got to attend a training then later in February, working so many organizations across Indonesia, working with people coming out of trafficking, and realized this is what I want to continue to do. I want to start plugging into this. So that was happening for me. A lot of Joel with the guys doing anti-pornography, getting into universities, all this stuff was going great.
Mm-hmm.
And then. As we are beginning to thrive, as our family is doing really well, we did not realize how much distance was growing between us and our team. The work that was being done, that we had been involved with, is just more traditional, which is fine. Like doing church planting, doing handicrafts, all that stuff is really good. And our hearts were just, God was just plugging us into different places. And we were still trying to plug into this team. We thought we fit, and we didn't realize how much distance was actually growing. And so in January, February, we were actually requesting, could we stay one more year? Because all this stuff is like starting, like the fruit is growing. Can we have just a little bit of extra time? And as that happened, it brought about some assessments and all this stuff. And we realized that our team felt, and it has become clear that our visions were very different, and because we weren't fitting on, that we needed to break away. We needed to be let go from that team. And so that is what ended up happening. In March, we found out. We closed up our time in Indonesia. Like, it was a really, really hard moment. And then all of a sudden, as we were losing this team that we thought was like our family, all of a sudden, there is this whole new community that started coming around us. And we had not realized this community was there. So a lot of the community that I'm talking about is like people that were working with these organizations that I want to work with to the future. It's our Indonesian friends and colleagues that Joel was working with. Things just started happening, even after we were technically no longer with, or in the ministry, the org that we were with. All of a sudden these things, and it's just like, it's not stopping. Just because we're being told that we don't fit here anymore, it doesn't actually mean that we don't fit in Indonesia. And so, when we left Indonesia, we renewed the contract on our house for another year. So we still have the house. We did it saying, God, we're not entirely sure the way forward. But we see your footsteps, or like we see his hand, his fingerprints. We see these doors that are open, and we're going to leave the doors open. We're not going to shut them, just in case this is where God still wants to lead us. So that's where we are.
Okay. So like we closed out life on our former team that we had served with for 8 years, 8 or 9 years, but we didn't close out our house. And so those two guys that I was mentoring, they have keys to our house. Our house is still there, and they're still using our house as a retreat place. They can come bring people that they are mentoring, and so they're using it still as a place for ministry while we're back here in the States. The thing, COVID caused a lot of people to pivot or reassess things and reassess. In the ministry world, we reassess ministry. How am I effective now, as I'm really limited in mobility, and COVID just changed things, right? And it caused a pivot in my heart and ministry, because I was noticing traditional ministry is here, but what was happening under the people in their hearts? What was going on? And I discovered in the students' hearts that I was teaching, and in my mentees' hearts, they're actually struggling with addiction to pornography. God started showing me, like, look at this. This is a big heart issue. It's deep, and it goes deep. Human sexuality is a big part of how He created us, and God created us that way. And pornography does something crazy to that. And I have a picture, an icon of, if you skip to the next slide, yeah, this is one of the icons from when I was doing research on addiction. What does addiction do? What does pornography do to our brain? How does it affect the wiring? It's rewiring our everything and how we view. And I had students coming to me and saying, I just feel like I can't focus on anything. I'm losing focus. I'm failing in my coursework in school. And I would talk to them later, and I would ask, like, how much are you on your phone? How much are you viewing content that is not helpful? And it comes out, okay, they are addicted. And okay, so this, it's opening up a whole world of like an unspoken, untalked about thing that is affecting my students, and it's affecting girls and boys. And if you go back one picture, so as I, oh yeah, right here. So this is one of my mentee guys, and we were walking together, kind of pornography, a curriculum, trying to lead people through it. And some of our Muslim colleagues heard that I was doing a pornography curriculum, and they invited me into a madrasa, a big madrasa, which is a Muslim school, it's a boarding school. And so this is our little team that we did a pornography event in the boarding school, and they gave me the entire junior high, middle school, like 200 students, boys, girls, and they said, please do your addiction recovery stuff here, because it's a thing here in our school. The head of the school couldn't really talk about it publicly, but that's why she was excited to like bring in this outsider, let him talk about it, and take on the taboo subjects. But I was like, I would love to, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus. And she said, that's okay, just do it. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And so me and my workers, like the guys that I'm mentoring in ministry, like we got to do ministry together in a Muslim school. And I had a sign up sheet of like, if you want ongoing mentoring, come sign up. And these kids would, I had like 20 kids, 20 boys sign up. I had 14 girls sign up, and that's just the middle school. I took those lists to the head of the school, and I said, how do you want me to proceed? Do you want me to teach your teachers to how to like put together a wellness plan, how to do a holistic kind of healing kind of thing? How do you want to proceed? And she said, no, go ahead and do it. You handle it. And so I have this huge open, like, I felt like God is just showing me, like, look at this. You are mentoring Muslim. These are the future Muslim leaders of like this island, right? They're all going to this boarding school, and God is like laying out, mentor them out of addiction and disciple them in how to follow the Lord, right? And it's like, it's just right there, just handed. And so it's not through church planting, it is through addiction, right? But it actually hits everything really close in the students' hearts. And it's humbling to be part of a recovery kind of ministry, a restoration kind of ministry. God showed me another thing. Is there another picture? Can you skip to one more picture? Okay, not go back two pictures then. I'm sorry, that's it's not in order. Go back.
Three
pictures. Yeah, that one. One of my mentees right here. I'm actually trying to mentor young workers for young people that are called by God, and I found this guy through a normal peace camp event, but I found that if I'm open with my story personally coming out of addiction, of addiction to pornography, if I'm open with that, that allows other people to be open and come and approach and say, hey, I actually have that same struggle. And openness brings openness is kind of the phrase in my mind that I say. So I have to lead by being humble and open and transparent. And so I did that, and this guy, he's the tall guy right here. He told me, he said, I have felt called to serve the Lord, but I don't want to. And you can imagine why you don't want to, right? Because you have this inner world that is wrecked by pornography. And it goes deeper than that. His story is very deep. But over the 2 years that we got to work together, like, I've seen transformation. It's beautiful when the good shepherd shows up and ministers in ways. And we did a little prayer and a kind of a spiritual prayer thing with this young man. And he found the good shepherd holding him as a little baby lamb and walking with him. Because he was actually crying. What? He was actually just crying out, God, why did you make me this way? He was really complaining about, God, you made me this way. God, I don't understand. I don't deserve, like, I have failed you in so many ways. And the good shepherd shows up and just carries him and says, I'm walking with you and I love you. You are mine. And that was enough. That was what his heart needed to start walking into in steps of recovery. And he's one of our leaders now. And we're going into Muslim, and we're teaching Muslim leaders, these are Muslim influencers in their schools, how to walk in freedom. And it's a great, this is a great open door that we wouldn't have never thought about years ago, but God kind of redirected us through this. If you continue on, there's another slide.
What?
Okay, let's go to another slide. I want to tell you a story because there's a story of a man, there's a picture of a man sitting in a trash, a pile of a trash heap right here. This guy. That's not his real picture. I just got this one off the internet. It symbolizes the life and world of this guy. There's a layer of society, a class of people that make their living by picking trash and picking recycling out of trash. It's not glamorous. It is like, it is very, it's poverty, right? But they keep doing it because that's all they can do. And they feel terrible about themselves. They feel like their career, their education, they just feel like worthless humans. And they're kind of considered that by the society. They feel terrible about themselves. I got to be at the baptism of a man who was telling his story. He said, I felt worthless about myself. This is what I have done for my entire career, my entire life, livelihood, is picking trash. My kids pick trash. Their kids pick trash, like, and they're struggling. We're always struggling to go through school. Health is terrible. And he was older, and as he was telling me this story, he had like no teeth. I think he had one tooth, and he was just so smiley. He was like, Joe Barnes is a very smiley person. he was like, he had no teeth. He's smiley and he's old, and he's telling me, I felt worthless. But and at my lowest point, I was hit by a motorcycle, and it injured me internally, and I couldn't. I was taken to the hospital, but I didn't have any money to pay for the hospital, so they just left me there on the bed, and they didn't know what to do with me. And he was like crying out, just praying, God, why did you do this to me? Look at my life. I'm a trash picker. I'm worthless. My kids are trash pickers. I have nothing. Like, I am going to die here. Like, you know, a life of desperation, right? You feel worthless. And he said that night somebody came to him. And this is an amazing story. I love stories where God shows up. He said a light from heaven showed up, and he heard the voice of God. And he said, you are not nothing. And he said two hands came down. And one hand said, here is my love. And another hand came down and said, here is my spirit. You are not nothing. And he healed him. And then he said, he saw behind that light a man in white, robed in white, coming down stairs. And that man that was robed in white had a robe, a white robe of his own. And he wrapped it. And he came to that man who was sick in the hospital. And he wrapped him in a white robe. And he said, you are not nothing. You are something. You are mine. It's a Muslim guy, right? He has no idea what's happening to him, but he sees these hands saying, here is my love. Here is my spirit. You are not nothing, right? And so here's this example. And he's sitting there, like, he was healed, and he didn't know what to do about it. He didn't actually know who that was. What was the Messiah all doing? He didn't know that yet. But the next day was like God's people, faithfully, one of God's people visiting and praying for the sick, visiting hospitals, praying for sick people, encounters this man. And this man's like, I've been healed by a man in white. I've been healed. And that led to that man's faith in Jesus, his baptism, and I got to be there at that baptism. Yes. And it's so beautiful, right? The Trinity, here's the three persons of the Trinity working in harmony and using the church, right? A faithful follower of God, just going through the hospital like normal, like visitations, praying for somebody, and they encounter. So we find these stories of a God at work, a God that loves, choosing the least. Like, God shows up to this guy that feels like he's worthless. He didn't show up to the wealthy. He didn't show up to, like, wealthy business guys that are, or like, he didn't show up there. He showed up to this guy that is a trash picker who has no teeth and no insurance. Like, and he said, "You are worth it. You are mine. Here's my love. Here's my spirit." It's a beautiful thing of how God uses the foolish things, the worthless things of the world, to humble and to teach. The things that the world values, right? Right. It's an upside down kingdom, right? And God does this, and it's a beautiful story. Yeah.
Okay. We wish we could take some more time. There's so many stories, but Joel and Sheila will be around after service. You can feel free to talk with them as you will, and get contact information. And they're in a transition time. We know something about that at Mosaic, don't we? And at first, it's really hard, and then you're like, oh, thank God. Thank God, literally, because he's prepping you guys for the next thing, and it's hard to see the forest from the trees, but man, God's all over this, so thank you guys for sharing. Want to pray as we move into a time of communion. Greg called me earlier this morning and said, you know what, I think we need to commune today, and I was like, you're so right. Because we want to commune with you guys. We're so grateful for what God's doing in your lives and what he's going to continue to do. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I just thank you for Joel and Sheila, for the kids, and for the work you've done and will do in them in this largest Muslim country of the world, Indonesia. Thank you for stories, Lord, of the trash picker and the good shepherd, healing. Thank you for I've never heard once a story where a Muslim school invited Christians to come and teach, ever. And so we just thank you. That is a divine appointment. We praise you for that. And we just thank you that we get to be the people of God here in this time and in this place. So we ask your blessing on Joel and Sheila. And may the stories that they've shared encourage us to share Jesus with our neighbors, with our families, with our friends, with those we come into contact with. May we be your hands and feet, Jesus, we pray. In your name, saying, amen. Thanks, guys.